This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
That's my Lord, Allah, the creator of us all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Firstly, brothers and sisters who are listening and to all the viewers on the online streaming, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers, can you hear me clearly in the other room as well? You can hear me, okay. I'd like to first start off by saying that we have our homes, or we have our houses, and those houses, our houses that we've got, are only brick and mortar. There's nothing really great about it, unless you fill it in with people. Okay? Unless you fill it in with people. So imagine that this town here, if this town was empty of people, what would this town be? If you walked in this town and it was a dead town, as in no people in any shops, no people in any houses, nobody in any of these buildings, the whole town has been deserted, what would it be? It'd be nothing. It'd be an empty shell. And for you to live here, you wouldn't even find comfort. So you can actually empty maybe a few miles of a radius. You walk in here. For you to have the most comfortable bed in the most comfortable house in the whole of the area, in the most comfortable room, is still not comfortable. Why not, guys? Why not? Tell me. Because you're alone. Yeah, exactly. You're alone. And there's no one to go and meet. There's no one to go and talk to. There's no one out on the streets. There's no noise. There's nobody around. So what it does is it makes you a person who feels that I am without any company. Now, our houses are different. Scenario first, and we'll get to family breakup. Do you need to move this? Is it like that? Forward? Me?
Yeah.
Okay, subhanAllah. Okay. Bismillah. You happy now? Yeah, is that okay? Should it be pointing to the ceiling, to me? Is that okay? Is that okay? Yeah? You want me to come forward?
Yeah.
More forward?
Yeah.
You want me to hold it like an ice cream? Okay, that's the best I'll do for you, yeah?
Yeah.
Inshallah. So, if we have our household, you think about it, what makes our households homes? See, if you want to turn a house into a home, you've got to look at the individuals inside and who brings what inside. That's what will turn something into a home. It's either a house or it's a home. If you find comfort in your house, if you like being in your house, if you like going to your house, then it's a home. But if you don't like it, if you don't like going to your house, then it's not a home. It's just a house. What makes it a home is the people inside. Now let's explore that. Depending on the people. Now you might think, well, yeah, okay, mom, dad, brother, sister, me, probably a nephew or a niece or someone, or my child, my children, that's what makes it the house, or that will make it the home. Well, you're wrong. That's still not a home. You could be comfortable. See, comfort is in two ways. Comfort is in two ways. One is a material comfort. One is an internal comfort. One is external, one is internal. External comfort is you've got all your facilities you need. You've got your nice, you know, hot water when you need it. You've got running water, you've got electricity, you've got the gas, you've got the internet, you've got the Wi-Fi. All these are external comforts that you've got. You've got the sofa, you've got the bed, you've got, you know, chairs, you've got the table and so on, food available, fridge is there. It's all external. Internal comfort is when you have got something in Bangla, as we know, we say shanti. You know shanti? Yeah? To have that internal, what would you call that? You'd call that peace, yes, peace, comfort of mind, no stress. This is what shanti would be. So when you've got that, that's when you've really got comfort. So there's two things in a house that will make it a home. One is the external comfort to your body. And the other one is an internal comfort to your mind. And brothers and sisters, most of us, when we're in our houses, we're probably thinking about the external one a lot of the times. But not many of us think about the internal one. See, to get the internal one, you have to have the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because Allah has said, "Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub." Only through Allah's remembrance will minds be content. Only through Allah's remembrance. Now let's get to this. What happens in most houses is, you go inside there, there's all sorts of people now. Every person you look at, again, you're looking at a shell. Just the way you're looking at houses, houses are shells. And houses become homes once you know who's inside and what kind of comforts they bring to you, externally and internally. Every human being is a shell. All your family members are shells. And the comfort they will bring to you, or the comfort they will make around you or bring into the house, the barakah or the blessing they will bring inside the house, depends again what's inside. So what do we mean by this? What we mean by this is that when you have inside the house, and I'm going to tell you straight up, and this is from so many ulama have mentioned this. Even if you go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ahadith, you will find this quite clear, where he has told us, don't make your houses graveyards. Now how do you make your house a graveyard? Who would want to turn the house into a graveyard? But the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, don't make your house a graveyard. What's a graveyard? Well, it's tombstones. It's somewhere where you go there, visit, but you don't want to stay there. It's spooky, it's cold, some people don't find it comfortable to stay there. It's a reminder that you're going to leave the world. It's a place where dead people live. So why did he tell some of us, don't make your houses a graveyard? Because he then adds to say that those of you who have houses deprived of the tilawa and the recitation of the Qur'an, they have turned their houses into graveyards. Now, might strike some people. Man, you come to my house, yeah? The guy might say, I'm not talking about myself, yeah? The guy might say, you come to my house, man, you walk inside there, the carpet, the comfort, yeah? The lights I've got, yeah? Especially, you know, these days they've got all these designer lights. So the guy's got designer lights, he's got deco, he's got the wooden pieces, he's got the marble tops. Wah! Wah! Yeah? So then you walk inside, and you know, as you go inside, you just look at his lounge area, and you think, man, that's better than my shisha place. Yeah, some guys are telling you, yeah? I was just driving down here, I seen these guys here with some, I don't know, these fat things. I don't know if they're electronic cigarettes, they look bigger than electronic cigarettes. When they blew out, yeah, for man, that's some serious chimney walking in the street, man. Seriously. The guys had these fat things that were blowing out. And I'm thinking, you know, man, you just, I don't know what you're doing inside, yeah. Imagine the amount of smoke that's coming outside. I'm thinking, whoa, that's a heavy amount of smoke. And that's all going in his lungs first, and that's coming out. So some people just don't understand. Some people, they don't understand. They just don't. They know how to read. They understand it. But, you know, Banglaikhoin, Buzia Buzena. That means he understands, but he still doesn't understand. So how does somebody understand and still not understand? Well, on a cigarette packet, it says smoking kills. Now it just says straight away, smoking kills, or smoking causes cancer, or smoking can kill. It's got it straight on the packet. So he knows. He's read it. It's about 20% of the size of the packet itself. He's ready. He'll take one out. He'll light it. He'll put it there. He'll take it in. And then he'll see, how far does my smoke go, man? And some of them are going to, I made a little circle. See? I'm smart, man. He's killing himself, but he's still smart. Buzia buzena. Do you understand? He understands, but he still doesn't understand. So anyway, coming back to the people inside the house, yeah, each of the houses are different. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your houses, you look at your houses, don't make them graveyards. Now this guy is saying, look at me in my house. You walk in his house and you see all this furniture, brilliant leather sofas, My, he's got his 50-inch screen there. He's got all the, you know, he's got the, from the, if you know, he's probably bought all the generations, yeah, PS1, PS2, PS3, PS4. And I'm saying, he's got the whole generation. He's got the sky, he's got this, he's got this thing and that thing. Anyway, bedroom, you go there, man, you just want to sleep there. You look at the comfort of his king-size bed, yeah, his quilt, all of that. You just want to snooze inside. Now, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still telling us that such a place here, where you might just look inside, just look outside his garage. You'll see a beautiful car, nice and clean. You look back in his back garden, you see nice grass, that's lawn, everything mowed, everything. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still saying to us that such a house will become a graveyard because there's no tilawah in the house. Now there's two things happening, brothers. The house has got an external way you decorate it, and there's an internal way you decorate it. And most people forget this. And the more important one is the internal one. Just as a human being, you've got an external way of beautifying yourself, and you've got an internal one of beautifying yourself. So let me start with the house first. Brothers, if anyone's got a mobile phone, please just put it off. If there's any noise coming, just tell somebody to switch their phone off or not talk loudly. Thank you. So the house, it's got two ways. If you're pumping music in the house, the angels are not interested in hanging around. The angels of mercy are not interested in staying in your house. But the shayateen are interested in coming to your house. If you've got tilawah, recitation of the Quran being said or being recited in your house, the shayateen, they're not interested in coming into your house. they run away. But the malaika, the angels, are interested in coming into the house. Okay? If you got inside your house, somebody is remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla, there's salah going on. Each time somebody prays, there is nur, there is light that is spreading inside the house. وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that salah is light. We don't see it, there is actual light inside the house. We will see it on the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that, give good news to those people who walk to the masjid in the darkness. See, when they walk to the masjids for Isha and for Fajr, they walk to the masjid, we see darkness. We see an old man, or see a man or someone walking to the masjid in the dark. But he doesn't see it and we don't see it. He's creating light. He's got light. He's got serious light. And you don't see it in this world. When they go to the Day of Judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, Bashiruhum, he said, give them good news, binuri tam yawm al-qiyamah, of light that is complete radiant on the Day of Judgment. They will have light all around them because they did that action. When people in this house, in the house of this world, they are reciting the Quran, they don't know what's going on. See, let me give you a hadith in Bukhari. Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, a Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Usayd bin Hudayr. Early morning in Medina, he went to his barn to see his horse. And at the same time, he sat there with a piece of the Qur'an and he started to recite the Qur'an. When he recited the Qur'an, he noticed that there were some like lanterns of light or canopy of lights that were swirling, or there was force of kind of a light that came from outside of the barn, and they came right inside the barn. Some kind of a whole canopy of lights. Sahih hadith in Bukhari. So when the lights came in, his horse got unsettled. And his horse was lifting its forelegs and making sound. So Usayd radiallahu anhu, he stopped reciting. And the lights started to fade away or go away. And then he started to recite again. And the lights came again back into the barn. And his horse got unsettled. And Usayd got scared. What is this? What are these lights? And why is my horse unsettled? And he then stopped again. And then the lights started to fade away, go again. And he recited again and he carried on. Each time he recited, the lights appeared. Each time they appeared, his horse got unsettled. Until he finally thought it could get dangerous because his horse was getting quite unsettled with those lights. So in the end, he stopped reading. And it was before Fajr that he was doing this action. He went to Medina Munawwara it's very close by to the masjid. He went to Masjid Nabawi, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, Allahu Akbar. He read Salah Fajr behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after the Salah, he said, Messenger of Allah, this morning something happened, which was strange. And when he inquired, he said, what? He said, this canopy of lights came. And they came, they went, they came, they went. Each time I read it, they came. Each time I stopped, they went. And my horse was unsettled. The Prophet ﷺ said what? He said, "Oh, Sayyid, those were angels that came to listen to your recitation. This is Nur, this is light. Because wherever angels are, they create light. Wherever Shaitan goes, he creates darkness. Now that darkness, you won't see it. The light of the angels, you won't see it. But it's happening, it's a real world." And then Rasulullah ﷺ tells Usaid, he says, "Oh, Usaid, had you carried on reciting continuously, the lights would have remained, and the people of Medina would have been able to see how angels look." Allahu Akbar. Now, what does this tell us? Now, it was a one-off incident. Not every Sahabi came to the Prophet ﷺ and told him that we had some lights appearing. No, it was a way of Allah telling us, showing through one man's eyes. Just because he showed Usaid bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, all the Sahaba understood that when you recite the Quran, you're getting nur, you're getting light, you're getting barakah, you're getting blessings. And right now, when you recite in your house, the same thing happens. Today, brothers and sisters, we won't see this, but it's going on. So the house, what happens is that it's got an internal way of making it a home. And this is it. Nur, barakah. You want blessings inside the house, you recite Quran. You want blessings inside the house, then you start to do dhikr of Allah. You do salah. You have good words inside the house. No swearing inside the house. Alhamdulillah, the house will have barakah, have blessings. The angels will come more and more. You have a house, it says in a hadith of Muslim, baytun kalbun fihi aw tasawir. You have a house with many idols or images that are looking like idols or other 3D sort of images of things that have got a soul inside them, but they're in a shape like an animal or a human or something, where you've got those images inside the house displayed. The Prophet ﷺ told us, according to a hadith of Muslim, that the angels won't even enter. Or you've got a dog inside the house, for no reason, as in you got no reason to keep the dog inside the house. It's not protecting you right now. It could protect you from the garden and so on. But you brought it inside the house. Well, the same hadith says that the angels won't come inside the house. This is where the angels refuse of rahmah to come inside the house. And there are many other things that deprive the angels of rahmah and mercy to go away from the house. And when they leave the house, what leaves? Allah's rahmah, Allah's blessings have left your house. When a person inside the house increases more and more music and sin. See, some people inside the house, they're sitting there, they're watching certain stuff inside the house they're not supposed to watch. Whether it's in his bedroom, whether it's a brother in his bedroom, a sister in her bedroom, someone who's doing something that they're not supposed to do. Who's coming? Tell me, are the angels coming or the shayateen coming? Which one? Shayateen are coming. So you got shayateen coming there. Somebody else is downstairs, you know. They've got, you know, B4U playing all the time. You know B4U? The young generation don't know B4U. It's true, it's good, guys. You don't know that. You probably know some other one, right? Some other one that's MTV or something? Is it? Astaghfirullah, exactly, brother. Exactly. Don't worry, I'm not on it. Yeah? It's just that we have to keep information, so we talk to people about these things, yeah? So you got the people who don't understand the English. They're glued on all the Indian ones, yeah. And the youngsters who don't understand the Indian ones, they are on the other ones, the music channels or the other channels on there. And now the new, you know, what the new stats is. The new one is the new stats. And the real stats is the young generation is moving away from TV. From the actual big TV, they're moving away from that. But where have they stopped watching TV? No, they're watching it more. Where are they watching it? They're watching it on the smartphones. They're watching it on tablets. They're watching it on iPads. They're watching on small devices, laptops and other devices. And they say that there's more people who are watching things on a smartphone than the actual TV itself. In 10 years' time, we might actually see people are not bothered to buy TVs, but they're actually bothered to buy a smartphone. Now, if you really think about it, a good smartphone costs more than a good TV. Yes or no? And people are buying them and people are watching them because it's individual. Now the thing is, what's happening inside the house is either you've got malaika, angels are coming, or you've got the shayateen coming, and either one will come or the other will come. Now you decide what is happening. When you've got fitna, sin, being blasted every day from the way people are, interaction between us, if it's halal, alhamdulillah, angels will be there. If it's haram, no. And what happens day to day, what happens is that house of yours, which is subhanallah, spick and span, you walk in the house, you think, man, sorted, man. Sorted for life, isn't it? The guy thinks, I got good car, good phone, good house, good wife. What else could I ask for? Some guys, I'm telling you, they get married, and when they get married, yeah, they have to advertise their wife to everybody. Seriously, they have to show her to everybody. And they're so proud. Like, yeah, I'm not pointing out. So imagine they're pointing out, they're saying, you know, you wish you were like me. But they don't get it. You're advertising your wife to all these people. Why? What, for what reason? You want all these people to like follow your wife? Is that why you're advertising your wife? La ilaha illallah. So people just go into remote. And then what happens is Islam becomes, see, different houses have different levels of Islam. Aha. So it depends. And some people, they're like very Islamic. But at other times it's like, forget Islam. There are people like that. Some people are very Islamic. It's like, as soon as you say Islam, holy Islam, holy Kaaba, holy Quran, holy. Like, you dare say anything about the religion. You dare say anything about the religion. These are Muslims, they're really real Muslims out there. You can't say anything about the religion or anything, but the same guy will disrespect the contents of what is being said in the Quran, in the Sunnah. See, that's do you think Allah is only looking at us respecting the Quran by touching the Quran just with wudu and then placing it in on a shelf nicely? Do you think that's the only respect? Well, that's the beginning respect. That's the first respect. The real respect for the Quran is to put the Quran into one's heart and practice it. So I'll give you an example. The other day I came across a student who's becoming a hafiz of the Quran. He's memorized 25 juz. Okay, not all students of Hifz are like this, but this one particular one, you know, he got into some trouble, and then he started to lie himself out of trouble. Then I sat him down and said, listen, I said, you've memorized 25 juz of the Quran, and I've just caught you lying, and you've lied a few times. The same Quran that's told you not to lie, you're memorizing that and you're lying. And what kind of Islam is that? So my brothers and sisters, what I want to say to you is that people have different levels of Islam. Some people, their Islam is only Jum'ah. Some people, their Islam is only the nikah, janazah, aqiqah. That's it. Aqiqah is born, Islam. Get the aqiqah done. And get him, you know. Make him a proper Muslim, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, guys, if you want to make him a proper Muslim, yeah, do nice and early. Don't wait till he's like 15 years old. Take him to Bangladesh and do it. One guy I knew, yeah, he got it done at 19 years old. The worst thing was he got married 2 weeks later. La, painful, brother. Anyway, Islam at Aqiqah. When he gets married, Islam. Get the Mawlana inside, Islam. And when he's about to go from the world, Islam. You need the janazah. Some people, they have Islam because it's salah time, that's Islam. Outside salah, hardly an Islam. There are people like this. Some people's houses, the grandparents have got Islam. The parents haven't got Islam. The parents haven't got Islam. The children haven't got Islam. Some places, grandparents have got it. The parents have got it, but the children don't have it. And some places, it's on and off. Now, what I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, is just think about your house, what level of Islam you've got. And then you think, look, you know, after a while, what happens is, what's the point of all of this? See, when you've got day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, when you have a shayateen coming to your house, when sin has been done in your house, doesn't matter how comfortable your house is, my brothers and sisters, this is now the house of shayateen. You've got a lot of shayateen frequently visiting the house because there are a lot of people sinning inside the house. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to cut the fingernails. Why? Because when dirt gets underneath there, even when dirt gets in your nose, when dirt gets on your body, if you don't wash it, then it's a place for shaitan. Look at the hadith. It tells us when you get up in the morning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to rinse the nose. Part of wudu. Why? فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ يَبِيتُ. Because the shaitan was just sitting there while you were sleeping. It's a place where you got bogies and you got, you know, you got the mucus there. And the mucus, because it's dirty, shaitan likes to stay there. If the heart has got the dhikr of Allah, angels stay there. It's clear from hadith, clear from various ahadith. Now what happens is year in, year out, you've had that. Then suddenly what happens is because there's sins inside the house, shaitan makes one break up with another. Over little things, brother. Over little things. La ilaha illallah. There's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of families out there broken up. Common breakup. What is it? Oh, Adam, you know, we don't talk to them anymore. Why don't you talk to them anymore? Because they invited people for a wedding. They didn't invite us. Are you that hungry, my friend? Goose hai balagi morizire. Just to have a bit of meat, you die. Seriously, they probably got forgot them by just chance here. Forgot them to give him a card. It's like, I'm not talking to them. And they have family split up. Or sometimes it's like, you know, he didn't respect me. How come he never respected you? Because he's supposed to come inside the house here. And he's supposed to wait. And this is serious here. He came inside the house. Yeah. And I came inside the house a little bit later. He knew I was coming here, but he ate the dinner. He started eating before me. Amari jod nashtakallah. Like my whole... Seriously, people like some Bengali families, you've got it like that. It's like, everyone has to wait. Oh my God, is everyone there? Are you there? Okay, sit down. No, we'll just wait for... Bicep is coming. We'll just wait for bicep. I'm starving, but wait for bicep, yeah? Because there's going to be a big blow up. When that guy comes, it's small things. You tell me, how did these things creep in? People are breaking up for little things. And there's the bigger ones. I'm going to give you bigger ones, yeah? Little things they break up. What is it? Oh, people start getting lazy. People start getting lazy. People tell others, you know, inside the house, go and do this for me. He says, no, I'm not going to do that for you. Then the tensions start. Somebody's sinning more than he should sin. Inside, they're all sinning, but somebody sins more than he should sin. And he goes out and they know he's got a girlfriend. And then the one brother starts to tell him, he goes, hey, what are you doing? You know, you're messing around. He's saying, you're telling me, yeah? You did it as well. What are you telling me for? No, it's like sinful people. But you, at least I was like, you know, going after a Bengali one. You're going after a like non-Bengali one. What's the difference? Big difference. Mom and dad are not going to like you. And then there's tensions, loads of tensions that start. Little things. Things like what? Hey, we need to send some money to Bangladesh. Yeah, okay, just send it. No, we need you to give us money to send to Bangladesh. Over that, they'll start. Friction starts. Over time, you know what happens? People can't stand each other inside the house. They can't. Because barakah is not there, blessing is not there. These are the basic things I'm telling you. Quran is not there, tilawa is not there, salah is not there. Because you know when you have salah, tilawa, Quran, your heart becomes soft. When it's soft, there's no jealousy. When it's soft, there's no room for kibr, for arrogance. Or there's little room for arrogance. There's more sabr, there's more patience. All these things have an effect if the shayateen are coming continuously inside your house. If there's dirt, when I say dirt, I don't mean physical dirt. I'm talking about dirt inside one's own mind. Because the filth you watch on something that is haram is created dirt inside the mind. It's created dirt on the heart. And then it creates dirt in the other member of the family, and then there's tension between the two. So I told you a bit earlier on that people are shell. All your family members, depending on what's inside, how much iman they have, how much they have increased their iman, how close they are to Allah, how much taqwa of Allah they've got, how much they're conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, inside the house, outside the house, all these things will make them a person who is a beautiful person to be with, And if they don't have those things, if they've got inside them kibr, arrogance, if they've got jealousy, if they've got malice, if they've got hatred, if they want to con people, if they want to swear, if they want to shame and put people down, if they want to cause arguments for no reason, if they're selfish, if they want to be the greatest inside the house, then you've got a serious problem, my friend. That same shell, even though they might be beautiful outside, I remember my sheikh, he said, subhanallah, he came to this country from Bangladesh, and we walked, we went through London and so on, we went through central London. And of course, when you go through, you see all these people, different people, yeah? You go through the tube, I took him through the tube, yeah? And it's the first time he's experienced any of this. So what do you see? You see people, they are dressed smartly, they've got suit, boo, yeah? Nice and iron and everything, which is really good. And they've got a nice, clean, you know, face. Slick hair, yeah? They're walking with a briefcase or whatever. And of course, in the morning, the most important thing is to take spray. Okay? So, what did the sheikh say? Especially when you got people outside there who are going over the top in trying to make themselves look good. Some of our sisters do it. What do? They want to, like, color this. Color all these. Then color this one differently to all of these. It's a new fashion. Color that one. This one, I don't know for what reason, why. Anyway, so this one, different from them. And that's purple, yeah? There's going to be purple lipstick matching this one. It goes together, brothers. You understand? Bit of like, I don't know what they call it, yeah? What do they call that?
Mascara.
We call it what?
Mascara.
Mascara, yeah? Put a mascara here, yeah? Okay, get some fake eyelashes, yeah, make them bigger. Nala. Okay, then they have the foundation, yeah, foundation. Then they put lipstick. Then they put, I don't know, some other, some will have a little thing. They'll have a necklace, but then they'll have another one around here, which is like a bracelet, but a small one. Then they'll have them. Is it anklet? Was it? The one that goes around the ankle. Yeah? So they'll have that one. Yeah? Then they'll paint their toenails. Yeah? They'll grow these long. Understand? Okay, fine. They do all of that, which is fine. The person does that. But then the thing is that I've got nothing against these people, okay? No prejudices, nothing. There's people outside there, okay, they dress and they be like they're how they are. Now the point is this, what's inside? If inside there is malice, there's jealousy, there's pride, a person wants to be the best, and they put all this other stuff outside which makes them look beautiful, smell beautiful, it's not beautiful. Because when you spend time with that person, you can't live with that person. You can't live with that person. And it doesn't matter how beautiful or not beautiful they are on the outside. If inside there is love, there is good human qualities, there's generosity, there's the inside there, there's the heart that wants to help you. There's a heart that wants to join ties, not break ties. This is a beautiful person to be with. So let me tell you a scenario, yeah? You're in your house. If you've got people of Iman and Taqwa, you know what? They'll want to keep relationships with you. Tell me this, yeah? In houses where people are religious, even if they have arguments, they make up very easily. Yes or no? Yes. In houses where they are away from Allah Azza wa Jal, when they have an issue, even if it's a small one, they break up and they have these nasty feelings towards each other, or they just don't want to stand each other. Yes or no? Yes? Now what happens is after a while, you walk in these houses, and I just don't get it. Sometimes you walk in these houses, and the whole family is like, they don't operate together. Like, the father's got an issue with his wife, the wife's probably got an issue with the daughter, brothers and sisters have got issues with each other. They walk in, salam alaikum, and straight up. Salam alaikum, up, gone. And stays in his bedroom. She stays in her bedroom. It's like, I don't want to mix with them. And now the whole sort of life has become, like some people are saying right now, it's more important for you to have Wi-Fi in the house. Yeah? It's more important for you to have a Wi-Fi in the house than a wife. You might be laughing, yeah? Seriously. Some people, you think about it, yeah? Most of these kids that are growing up, and many of the middle-aged people who are here listening to this, you've had a Wi-Fi, yes? Guys, you got Wi-Fi or not? I'm not saying wife, man. Guys, come on, cheer up, man. You got a Wi-Fi, yes or no?
Yes, yes.
People have got that. They made it a necessity of life, which is fine. But what do you do with that again? If it's giving you khair, if it's giving you da'wah, if it's giving you taqwa, if it's giving you remembrance of Allah, then your whole Wi-Fi, your house, your body, your inside of your house, the shanti that I said, and the makeup, all that is there. If not, the rest is gone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us what? When you come inside the house, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayral mawliji wa khayral makhraji. Wallah, I ask you for the best place to come into, the best place to exit. Bismillahi walajna wa bismillahi kharajna wa ala Allahi rabbina tawakkalna. In the name of Allah, I come into this house. In the name of Allah, I will exit afterwards. And on Allah, the Lord, I depend. And what is this? This is to bring barakah inside the house. Why are you starting with Bismillah? My friends, these are small things that have a great effect on the family. Now, tell me what are the greater things of family breakup? Well, when people have issues, they have issues for many reasons. I'm talking about 90-something percent of breakups has got nothing to do with Islam. So let me give an example. A sister-in-law of yours comes home. Babi. You know Babi? Yeah, she comes home. There's her. There's your mother. So it's a sister-in-law, or let's say the daughter-in-law, and the mother-in-law. They've both got to have one kitchen, one kingdom. Two queens, one kingdom. Now that's what you call trouble. If they're good, again, if both of them, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, both of them have taqwa, both of them do things for the sake of Allah, both of them look at each other with love, mahabba, and so on, alhamdulillah, there won't be a problem. If the daughter-in-law makes a mistake, which she's going to make a mistake, because she's younger than her mother-in-law, she makes a mistake in cooking, makes a mistake in scratching the cooker or something. If the mother-in-law follows the sunnah, she will let it go. Let me give you a hadith. Anas radiallahu anhu, in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, in the household, he used to bring things. He was a young individual. He was probably about 10 years old. 8 to 18, he served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine a 10-year-old boy, he brings some dishes, and as he's bringing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he drops one and breaks. And he wanted to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in coming, he broke it. The family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the women sometimes would say, Anas, careful, we told you, careful. You just broke another one. And what would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? This is the sunnah. He said, leave him, for if the time of something has come to go and finish and break, it's happened. If Allah has decreed that this is the moment that a glass actually falls and it breaks, then it's happened. Allah's decree has come into place. This is the way to make families together. Have mercy. Have rahmah. Now, tell me this year. As the children grow up, each time the children grow up, each age they come to, there's a new challenge inside the house. And brothers and sisters who are listening to this, tarbiyah, see, you know Islam, everybody can learn Islam, no problem. Everybody can know the Quran, Sunnah, no problem. But to actually mold oneself to the Quran, Sunnah is a real big challenge. Let me give you an example. Family members come inside the house, they eat. Some, you know, a lot of people, they eat, they leave food that's wasted. Okay? You've got a whole lamb chop. You know lamb chop, yeah? Whole lamb chop, you're supposed to eat it, take it to your... Now the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, you take the whole piece to your teeth, and you strip it off with your teeth. And you strip every part of the meat off the thing. Some people, they just take the bite from the middle part, the rest of it, throw it away. I'm rich and I'm silent. I'm rich. Yeah? The guy took some curry or something like that, or something on his plate, and then he didn't like it. Khaitamnai. Not going to eat it. It will affect you in your sleep. People don't think about this. Like you do this here. You play a game, yeah? All that, yeah? Play a game. Guaranteed. Any game you play, and then go try and go to sleep. You'll see. Man, the guy can't go to sleep. He's like, he's in Call of Duty. He's somewhere firing. Someone's firing at him. He's trying to duck. Not telling you you should be playing that game, yeah? But anyway, what happens is people, seriously, they watch something, they try to go to sleep, they can't go to sleep because it's whirling inside there. People need to break off. I don't care how many troubles you've got, there's a point before sleep, break off. Listen and go into the dhikr of Allah. And do a bit of dhikr of Allah. Read the Qur'an before you go to sleep. I'm telling you, when you're going to sleep, the Qur'an will play. Especially if you can't, if you don't want to read it, do this for me, yeah? Just play the Qur'an on your phone. Yeah? Just play it. You'll hear it. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And the Qari is reciting, the Qari is reciting, and then you switch it off, you don't go to sleep, in your head, Allahu Akbar. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Beautiful sound in your head. Even if you can't go to sleep, it's beautiful to have the sound in your head of the Qari, whoever recited. And if you were listening to like boom, then you try to go to sleep. You go to sleep, boom. You play in your mind. You know the ulama have said, they've said even an argument, don't try and get into an argument. See, you know breakups happen. I tell you one of the big breakups happen is if you can't control your tongue here. If you haven't learned how to control your tongue, you're in serious trouble. One of the biggest things you have to learn in the life of this earth, of Islam, for a good house, good home, good family, no breakups, is you got to put a brake on your tongue. Sometimes, you know, you like heat it up. Man, I tell you, you could be Muhammad Ali at this time, you know. Box them. I know people don't beat you, but you know the tongue, yeah? The tongue can beat worse than your fists. True or not, brothers? You don't know, yeah? Subhanallah. If somebody hits you, yeah? If somebody pushes you, somebody goes out to you, yeah? After a while, their pain is gone. But if somebody looks at you, they haven't hit you. They say, "You monkey." Man, that hurts. Hey, I'm a banda, that's it. Like, you can't forget that. It's like, hey, what did you just call me? You call me monkey? Like, you're thinking, why do you call me monkey? Is it because of my skin color? People interpret, is it my skin color? Is it because I behave like a monkey? Is it because I'm cheeky? Is it because he's degraded me to an animal? He thinks I'm an animal? You chimpanzee. That's what happens. If you can't control your tongue, you're going to lash out. What did you do? You know these lash outs, they're worse. I know hitting is bad. Don't hit. But lashing out is worse. I tell you one thing, yeah. Men, they're bad sometimes with their hands. When they get angry, sometimes they want to just throw their hands up. It's bad. Guys, it's bad. Don't do it. But you know, women, our sisters, they got this tongue. The guy basically, you know, has had an argument with his wife, yeah? And his wife starts. She's just getting warmed up. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu. She's starting a full khutbah, brother. Yeah. You, that day you did this, and the other day you did this, and then you said this to me, and then you did this to me. You're getting warmed up, brother. So this guy, yeah, he's like, look, you know, his temper's going up. He said, don't say that to me. You know, just be quiet. He said, yeah, and what about that? And what about this? And you did that. And the guy just thinks, okay, look, I'm just going to leave the kitchen. I'm going to go upstairs. So the guy goes all the way upstairs. He goes to his bedroom. He sits down there. In comes his wife for khutbah two. So, you know, the imam sits down, the imam gets back up. The woman has risen again. And you did this and you did that and don't remember this, you know. Man, I tell you, she's using her hands. But our tongue sometimes can slash. I think it's sister. You listen to me, yeah? You want to make life better for yourself, please, please control your tongue. And the brother as well, please control your tongue. And what happens is you don't want to slash at each other, slash, 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 slash. You know what happens is they don't forget it. It hurts here. When you have been hurt in your heart, yeah, you remember. You remember. After even a year, you say, yeah, last year, I came upstairs to try and get away from you. And you walked inside. And that's where you called me a monkey. That's where you believe. And these people remember, 1 year ago, 3 years ago, you said this, you did this, did. People remember the tongue is really damaging. And it causes a lot of hurt. They think best thing to do, brother, sister, best thing to do is, if somebody is angry, just walk away. If upstairs doesn't help, downstairs doesn't help, get out the house. Just walk out the house. Seriously, for the brothers, best place for you to get away, come to the masjid. Seriously, I've met brothers like that. You meet a brother inside the masjid, like, that guy normally is not there for salah. You see him again. You go up to the brother, brother, are you okay? He says, I'm okay. So what's my brother? He says, I'm finding a lot of peace here. So brother, what's the matter? Where are you not finding peace? He goes, my house. I walk inside there, yeah? I want to walk back out. But alhamdulillah, in the end, obviously somebody calms down, it's good. The brother needs to walk out, or the sister needs to walk out, get away from each other. Because the thing is, when your temper goes down, you won't be saying the same words again. Yes or no, guys? Even the next day, you think, Ya Allah, I call him a monkey, man. Whoa. You go up to the person, I didn't mean to call you a monkey, please, I didn't mean it. You know, it's going to take time to forgive. It takes time to rub all that off. And after a while, you know, you still got that in your heart, like, he was so rude to me, so rude. And people, when they get angry, they just can't think sometimes what they're saying, what they're doing. And later on, they regret all of it. But it doesn't help. You've got a real bad problem. You need to sort yourself, anger management, man or woman. Just sort your anger management out. Sort it out. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, his wife passed away. They had a 40-year marriage. And he cried, and he said, by Allah, me and my wife for 40 years, we never had a single argument. Say Allahu Akbar. Say Allahu Akbar. Which man here has been married more than 1 year and can put his hand up, he's never had an argument with his wife? Put your hand up, go on. How many of you are married, put your hands up? We've got no married people here. What's going on? Imam, please, sort it out, please. How many people are married? I think we need to turn this camera here so sisters can see which of the... I don't know, I'm joking. Yeah. They'll see the guy sitting there. I'm married to him, yeah? He's not putting his hand up. What I'm trying to say to you guys here is that none of you can put your hands up. Even I can't put my hand up. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, how did he do it? He said, when my wife used to get angry with me, he said, I took it on myself to stay quiet, to keep my mouth shut. No matter how much she was insinuating me, how much she was making me angry, I took it on myself to stay quiet and to not say a single word. Not a single word. Now that takes guts, brothers. Not a single word. Until she calmed down. And when she calmed down, then I talked to her nicely about the matter. And when I got angry with my wife, and I was saying things to her that would flare her up, my wife took it on herself to stay quiet, not to say a single word to me until I calmed down, and then we talked nicely about the matter. Subhanallah. Now if you go home, brothers, this is the way to stop these breakups happening. Because first is that, you know, when somebody has said a hurtful thing, it's like a knife going straight through the heart. The person will remember. You can forgive it, but you can't forget it. Remember that. When you said your words and they've hurt someone, they can forgive you, but they can't forget it. It's almost impossible for them to forget. Even if they, you know, years later, they still know. Maybe they haven't got an issue with you, but they won't necessarily forget it. Now, if you have got in the household, you've got people who are not on the deen, what do you do? You have to give da'wah. And da'wah is all the time. Don't think dawah is on the streets. Brothers, all brothers. Some people get really excited. They want to do dawah outside the streets. They want to get brothers into the deen. Brothers into deen. When their whole family or part of the family is going away from the deen and they're not doing anything about it. Wrong. I don't care who you are. You've got a responsibility in the house as well as outside the house. Now, how do you give dawah to your family? Man, this is really difficult. To give dawah to your family is really difficult. You know why? Because they know your past. They know your history. So when you come and preach to them, say, Tuiki gube. Eh? Eh? Matosni. Eh? So who are you? You're talking, huh? You looked at your history. You looked at your history. You're telling me. See, it's difficult. But what are you going to do? You still got to invite them. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, admiring, many of them had histories they didn't want to discuss. It's a true case. Many of them had histories. They did things in the Jahiliyyah days they don't want to talk about. But they still, when they became good, they started to bring their families towards the deen. Now, when you give dawah to your family, you've got to be very gentle. And you've got to do it in a way that it will be acceptable. Don't give dawah to your family just as you would give it to any other organization, anything outside there. Don't just come up to your brother and just say, brother, you know what? If you don't pray, I just heard this hadith outside, You know this hadith, it's a wonderful hadith. You know how wonderful hadith says? The one hadith says, that if you don't pray, you're going to burn in hellfire. Huh? That's not, one thing is that you give people straight hadith or Quran and knock it on them. You know, that's wrong anyway. Second thing is if you condemn them to hellfire, whatever, forget it, you've lost it. You want to approach gently. You want to tell them, my brother, come, let's experience something. Let's pray. You know, Allah will make a connection. You'll make a connection with Allah, and that connection will bring you good things. Now, if it doesn't work, try another hadith, a nice positive one. Brothers, learn, sisters, learn how to bring positive hadith, positive Quran, ayats. If it doesn't work, try and take them to an Islamic gathering. Try and share with them a YouTube talk or something that is you think they will like. Try and show that to them. Don't always show them what you like, because minds are not the same. Try and, even if it's 5 minutes, 3 minutes, share it with them, watch it with them. A quick hadith, a quick ayah, a quick tafsir, a quick point. Sometimes, there are many scholars, many speakers outside there that YouTube is full of these speakers. Try and use that as a means of dawah. If not, try with your brother and your sister, whoever it is. Try and, find an opportunity to try and just slip in the talk of the deen in a way that will be acceptable. In what sense? Like, for example, if you go out with them for a dinner, they're more likely to accept your dawah. What did Yusuf alayhi salam do? Yusuf alayhi salam, inside the prison, he chose to give dawah when two gentlemen came to him with two dreams. In the prison, now Yusuf alayhi salam is innocent, but these two, one of them is a criminal. And he said, before the food comes, I will give you your interpretation, but listen to me for a little while. And he gave a few words. If you look in the Quran, a few words. He just dropped the dawah and then he told him the interpretation of the dream. What does that mean? That means your brother, your sister might need you at some point. All brothers and sisters need each other. So when they need you, say, brother, I'm just about to help you, but just listen to me at this moment. I'm just going to talk to you for 3 minutes, for 4 minutes, for 5 minutes. Then drop the dawah, because they need you. They will stay there. They will listen to you. Right? Try not to become the big brother of the house. Yeah, the bossy brother, the bossy sister. You're not praying, huh? Do you know what happens when you don't pray? when you talk like, I'm telling you, And you, sister, your hijab, your hijab is still not right, Because when you go out, Listen, you're this, stop pointing fingers, man. Some people, they give dawah, they're like, Why are you pointing? Like, just keep it calm, man. You're not someone bigger than them. You don't know who will go to Jannah first. Talk to them nicely. Invite them nicely. And when you become the big brother, you know what happens? You know your voice, sometimes in the house people are saying, hey, have you prayed? Hey. Sometimes the parents will say, hey, namaz for Sunday, hey, namaz for Sunday. Like sometimes comes, just another sound. It'll go off after a little while. It's like the fridge, it comes on, isn't it? Zzzz. You expect it every hour. For about a good 5 minutes, gone. Just like that. Hey, namaz farzi na. You got to engage people, bring them in a way that is acceptable, that is nice to them. Okay, you don't want to force them, but you want to invite them. Now, if somebody is doing haram in your house, give them an alternative, a halal. Tell them the benefits of it. Go through it. And if you can't, let's say for example, you tried and you failed, try another day. Don't give up. Try another time. Try in a different way. Try to get your other brother to tell him, other sister. If it doesn't work with the family members, try and get somebody from outside, maybe his friend, your brother's friend, your brother sometimes, your sister sometimes, more likely to listen to their friend than you. Yes or no? So if you know they're practicing, or if you know they've got something good Islamic about them, try and tell them to reach to them. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, don't stop da'wah. If you stop da'wah, da'wah means inviting them. If you stop that, you bring the la'na, the curse of Allah to your house. This is from Bukhari, this is from the Quran, this is from the Sunnah, that if you carry on giving your da'wah, if somebody's not praying in your house, as long as you continuously, now and again, we're not saying every single day you've got to be in their face, we're not saying that. Now and again, you carry on giving them reminders, that's fine. The lana, the curse won't come down. But if you stop, nobody's giving da'wah, nobody's telling anybody to do good, nobody's preventing anybody in the house from evil, you know what happens? Allah's lana will come down. لعن الذين كفروا من بني إسرائيل على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوا. Allah says the reason why some of these people were cursed in the past is because they stopped telling other people to stop evil. The guy's doing evil, first they said a few times, after they just said, forget it, he's not listening. You know, some people say that, forget it, I went to him so many times, I finished. That's when you have now become the same as them. So you've got to carry on the da'wah. Now sometimes it's not simple, all right? I'm going to open up in a little while with the Q&A because I know some of you will have some questions. But what I want to say to you brothers is that, you know, some people they say that, you know, let me go a bit outside of the house now. Sometimes the issue is now about extended relatives. You know, extended relatives? Like your uncles, your aunts, their sons and so on. Sometimes the trouble is there. The breakup of the family is there. Now these are some serious ones that take place. My friends, if somebody has broken up with you from a family member, it is fard on you to keep the ties. Otherwise you will be cursed. You have to make your thing to keep your ties. What does that mean? That means if somebody's breaking up with you, blood relationship, somebody blood related to you is breaking up from you, you have to still keep tight, just still talk to them. Even if it's salam and just a few words, just do that. Don't break up. Why? There's a hadith in Bukhari where when Allah created rahim, which is keeping ties, Allah created it, then the rahim, the thing of making ties or breaking ties, or the womb, however you want to put it, it said to Allah, it said, oh Allah, I'm in a position where I want to ask you something, and I want you to give it to me. And Allah said, are you not satisfied? Man wasalaki wasaltu, wa man qata'aki qata'tu. Allah Azza wa Jal says in a hadith of Qudsi in Bukhari, he says, are you not pleased? Or it's in Tirmidhi as well. These words probably in Tirmidhi. He said, are you not pleased that whosoever will make ties through you, through the womb, I will keep my ties with them. And whoever will break ties through you, I break my ties with them. And in Hadith of Bukhari it says, the fastest punishment of Allah to come from the skies to the earth is on the one who breaks his ties with his family members. The fastest punishment to come straight onto the earth is one who breaks ties. Now some of you I know, you might think, whoa, man. You know, I've got to talk to that auntie of mine, man. No, whoa. Auntie's got beef, you know. Serious beef. You could make a good few kebabs out of that beef. You know what it is, brothers? Even if it's auntie, even if it's big sister, even somebody else, yeah? When somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Messenger of Allah, he said, he said that they break ties with me and I still try and keep ties with them. But they keep on trying to break it with me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that moment he said, this is what silatul rahim is. This is what making ties is. That when someone's trying to break it with you, he's still trying to keep it. And he told the person that they are on the haqq or on the truth or something along those lines, that they are in the right. But what can you do? There are some people like that. You try and make it up with them, they want to break it with you. For simple, silly reasons. Now you've got to do your best as a good Muslim to keep the ties. Because you don't want to be in a position where Allah's lana or Allah's curse is coming towards you. So now, with extended families, sometimes this happens, yeah? Your uncle is not talking to your dad, and because of that, your uncle doesn't want his children to talk to you, like first cousins. That's bad, man. What have the children done? What have the children done? And because of this, generation grows up hating each other. That's bad. And that what will happen in the end is that these people, they're responsible for what is happening, you know, in the households and what they're doing. So what do you do, my brothers? My brothers, my sisters, to follow Islam, remember that we need to all embrace as much of Islam as we can. And when these people, they if somebody is horrible to you, because don't get me wrong, yeah, there are some people you'd rather not be with than to be with. Like, let me give an example. You go to a household, to one of your relatives' houses. If you take your children to that house, your children come back with less Islam inside their lives. They've just gone into a house where there's no rules and regulations. And because of that, your children have come back to your house like messed up slightly. What do you do? Well, you still got to keep your ties, but you don't have to keep your children there for long. Or you don't have to keep taking your children there frequently. You don't have to. You can make it less. It's up to you how you do it, all right? But look, such a house where Islam is not there, don't make that your frequent place of going, because you'll be affected by it. Unless you're going there to try and make them come more towards Islam, that's fine. Then you should go frequently, because you want the goodness of yourself to influence them, influence that family, influence that relative, alhamdulillah. But if it's the other way, they're influencing you more every time you go there, then cut down. This is the golden rule. The golden rule, trying to increase your iman, but you got to understand, when your children, when your brothers, sisters, when yourself, you can't go to certain houses, within 2-3 years, they become complete different individuals, because of the associates that you have. So anyway, we've got about 15 minutes, I'm going to open to Q&A. If I decide not to answer your question for any reason, because this is live, being broadcast live, yeah? You know, David Cameron's listened to this, you know what I'm saying, like, brothers, yeah? Yeah? Hello, David, you're right. We call you Dawood Cameron. Yeah, anyway, Mr. Cameron is listening to this, and all the rest of them are listening to this. So that's why, if I don't answer it, then I don't answer it, yeah? Sometimes you can't answer. You have to answer according to the climate, you understand? You know, you go out there, if it's rainy, you wear a rainy coat. If it's sunny, you wear a t-shirt, you understand? So if your question comes that it's rainy, I'm just going to say, sorry, brother, take it back. So put your hands up if you've got a question. I'm sure you've got a question after such a, you know, a topic that involves so many different factions of your life, of your house, of your family members. I'm sure you've got some questions. Put your hands up, brother. I'll take the question straight up. Yes?
What are some examples of ways we can give da'wah to our parents?
Okay, what's a waste of giving da'wah to your parents? Now that's not an easy one. That's a tough one, but you still need to give it. Ibrahim alayhi salam gave da'wah to his father. In the Quran it's there how he very, very nicely talked to his father. It didn't help, as in he didn't change his father, but he had to do his job. And you have to do your job. So you have to tell him in the nicest way, tell him privately, tell him where they won't get embarrassed, tell him in a place, in a time when you're talking to them softly and gently, put all the adab and respect and everything before it, talk to them in a nice, gentle tone, and tell them because you love them, you're telling them these few words. Yeah, and just keep it short and give them the message. See, what Islam has told us is we have to convey a clear message. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. You have to convey a clear message. Islam has not told me and you to bring guidance to family members, to bring guidance, to make someone guided. That's Allah's job. Do you understand? So giving da'wah and calling someone towards, you know, a good pathway is my job, is your job. To convey the message clearly is your job, my job. But to make them practice Islam is Allah's thing. Now I've seen brothers do this, yeah? They come to me in the masjid and say, Imam, say, what's going on? Said, Imam, you know, parents are not praying, you know? Or like someone else is not praying. I said, well, hang on. I said, how long have you been praying for? So he goes, I've been praying for 4 years now. So you've been praying for 4 years, yeah? The guy's probably about, 30-something. You've been praying for 4 years. He goes, yeah. I said, you know, 5 years ago, yeah, let's just talk about the year before you start praying. 5 years ago, if somebody came to you and said to you nicely, with a nice tone, and said to you, brother, you know, akhi, I think, you know, if you prayed, yeah, it'd be so nice for you. You know, you'd be earning your akhirah, you'd be nice and this and that. And a person came to you with a nice hadith, a positive thing, and told you to pray, would you pray? He said, no. I said, would you just respectfully stand there and just listen to him for a bit, but just like ignore it? He said, yes. I said, well, your family are in the same place where you were 5 years ago. Now, you have to understand it from their perspective. Didn't you understand what I'm trying to say? You've got to, if your parents are not listening to what Islam is, if your brothers and sisters are not doing it, you have to understand it from their perspective, not from yours. You're now practicing. You can easily see how good salah is and how good this is, how good halal business is. But they can't see it. They're not there yet. So you have to slowly, slowly bring them in. You have to think back the years when you were not practicing, how you would have liked to be approached. What kind of ways would make someone make you pray? What kind of things would they have to say to you for you to accept, you know, the good way of life? So you've got to put yourself in that position. But you've just got to try in different ways, inshallah. Yes.
And if you can just touch upon the one or two consequences of family breakup, what can happen or effects?
Well, I've said that the actual effects is that if it breaks up, if you don't try and keep it going, then, you know, the line of Allah will come down. If it's involving kids, for example, if you're talking about marital things, right? If that's the idea of talking about it, that's a whole, I have to do another whole bayan on that. Yeah, the marital ones, yeah. And I've said part of it, which is the tongue and, you know, the household, the way you're living, whether Islam is there or not, you know, it has effects. Now, this is a good question the Imam has said, which is about kids out there. They get affected really badly when parents are not, you know, if parents are arguing, if parents are not close together, if parents have got issues, the kids in between, they have it rough and tough. I'm dealing with several cases at the moment where things are going on, where, you know, it's going towards a divorce, it's going towards a near divorce or something. It's serious. And what happens is the kids suffer in between. And you think about it, on the Day of Judgment, those kids, when they grow up, I don't know what they're going to be and how far or how close they'll be to Islam, but you might be responsible because of the way you dealt with them. And put it straight, brothers, yeah? If you've got an issue with your wife, or if you've got an issue, sister, with your husband, yeah? The issue is nothing more than what you made out of it. Now, I'm giving an example, yeah? This professor, what he did is he came to the lesson lecture and he held a glass of water and he said, how heavy is this, roughly? How heavy with this is this? Come on, guys. If you were to say that I've got some certain amount of kg that I'm actually holding, it's not 1 kg, is it? It's in grams, yeah? Probably how much, 50 grams? Yeah, about 50 grams, right? Now, to lift 50 grams or 100 grams, will you actually make your body feel like it's in pain if you lift that, yes or no? No, it's simple, you just lift 50 grams, 100 grams. Now, there's no pain there, but still there's effort there, yeah? There's effort there, isn't there? Right, now watch this, yeah? What the professor did is he said, if I now hold this where it is, if I hold it and I hold it and I hold it, let's say a minute has gone by, 2 minutes have gone by, what's going to happen now? This gets heavier, this feels heavier, the weight is the same. Where am I thinking that is heavy? Because my arm is now up for 1 or 2 minutes, all the sisters are here, are they? Subhanallah, I'm in trouble, man. I'm joking, yeah. If you've got, if I'm here for so long, yeah, the pain, the muscles will actually make this feel heavier. And now I've got pain. Now, what did the professor say? He said that when you got a bit of stress in your mind, your husband or your wife is doing something you don't like. If you just like try to deal with it and then you just let go, like, look, this, I've lifted it, I let go. It's fine. But if you hold it, it's in your mind, it's bugging you, it's bugging you, it's bugging you, it's bugging you. You know, this is going to get seriously heavy, and that thing, stress, is going to make you like, hold on, I'm going to get back. Call me monkey. It's gonna bug you so much that you cause yourself more damage than what the damage is. Look, the damage was this. This is nothing. You just lifted it and put it back down. You had your stress, you just let go of it, finished, gone. Damage is when you hold on to it and you dwell on to it. Now the damage is here. It's outside of the actual stress itself. You created further stress all the way over here when it was just here. You create your whole body to get, you know, to become very sort of feeling like you're in your own prison just because you held on to what you had. Okay, so anyway, just quickly finish up what Imam has said. Look, the effects of it are going to be, if it's a marital thing, like even if it's not children involved, people's hearts are broken, right? And if you want to, look, if you want to make things work, you can make it work. Yeah? Guys, I'm going to ask you to do one thing, yeah? Can you all smile? Guys, can you all smile? All of you smile. Some brothers are still not smiling. The muscles are hurting. Guys, can I ask you again? Can you all just smile? Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Some guys are like this. You know why I'm asking you to smile? Some brothers have forgotten. Some sisters have forgotten, yeah? Because of the problems they've got. They've forgotten how to look at one another. Just smile. It's a sunnah. You come in the house, even if you have tension, problems, just walk in, just do this, yeah? Just go in your house today with the person and just smile. Don't freak them out, yeah? No, genuinely, smile, say please forgive me, embrace them, hug them. Are you a family member? Hug them, embrace them and say, look, just forgive me. You know why? I had a husband and wife come to me this Thursday, yeah? And they came to me because there's a marital problem. Now, I don't like to deal with this, so please, I don't want a whole queue of people outside there, yeah? Amar goro, avka, molosa, avka, amar goro. Listen, so what happened is a Thursday, yeah? I had a husband and wife come to me, and this is serious, this is just last Thursday. And they've had some problems for some time. So I said, okay, I'll sit with you and see what we can do. So this is how I always start, you know, trying to make it up. I said to the husband, can you name 3 things that are good about your wife you like? And I said to the wife, can you name me 3 things that you like about your husband? And he's sitting there saying, and she's like, so I said, brother, look, I'm asking you, have you not got like 3 things? And I said, mention one. I said to sister, mention one. And she's like, I said, are you trying to tell me out of 1 to 100, you have got 0% of likeness towards him and 0% towards her? And both of them said 0. Subhanallah, both of them said 0. I said, okay. I said, that means, yeah. I said, may Allah forbid this. I said, may Allah forbid this. I said, that means if you, brother, the sister, listen to this, yeah? I said, you brother, tomorrow morning, may God forbid, yeah? Tomorrow morning, it's, you know, at Fajr time, you don't wake up. It was last night. You're dead on your bed. The sister, tell me this, yeah? Are you going to be happy tomorrow morning? Tomorrow morning, God forbid, your husband doesn't get up from bed. Are you going to be happy? She said, no. I said to the brother, I said, tomorrow morning, your wife, the wife of 3 kids, doesn't get up from her bed. And she's dead. That was the last night. Are you going to be happy? He said, no. I said, then? Why? Because if you got 0, if I got 0, the only one I've got 0 love for is Shaitan. It's true, isn't it? Yeah. Come on, guys. Be honest with you. Yeah? Yeah. Even you guys, some of you have never met you, but I love you because you're my Muslim brother. It's true, isn't it? Guys, you don't like me. Now, listen, it's not 0, is it? It's like an enemy. An enemy would be 0, right? They're saying 0 to one another. And then they came to the senses. I said, tell me, brother, what do you like about her? He said, well, you know, she looks after my children. I said, sister, tell me. Well, he does give me a few things. Right? Then I started to laugh. Then you know what I did? I started talking to them, and then I made them smile. I made both of them smile. And they probably haven't smiled at each other for about a year. Seriously, I'm not joking. They haven't smiled at each other for about a year. Every time they see each other, yeah, it's like... Each of them preparing how many guns, how many bullets they got, yeah? Sudi saying, "Bing! You did this." You know, like, what in another? Every time they see each other, they argue. Now, what caused this? What caused this? It's them. It's within them. I made them smile. I made them look at you. I said, look, let go. Let go. Can you let go? I said, go and embrace yourselves. Go home. Go and talk to each other nicely. You know, what did you do? Well, he's blaming her, she's blaming him. It's like he's saying 100% her fault. She's saying 100% his fault. I said, listen, 50-50, yeah? 50-50. I said, half you and half you. You cause half the problems and you cause half the problems. Don't say it's 100%, 100%. This is what happens with families. They get to a stage where it's like, no way I can let it go. And the problem is they can't let it go. The problem is they just can't put it down. You know, if you wanna seriously stop something, honestly, somebody that you're not getting on, just go up to them, just shake their hand, just give them a hug, and just say, you know, forgive me. Forgive me for Allah's sake, just forgive me. I went to a talk, I heard this, I heard the la'na of Allah comes down if you don't make up with people who are linked to you and close to you. I just decided that I'm going to make up. What did Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell us? He told us that, he said, 3 days, 3 nights is maximum when you can hold a grudge with someone you're not speaking to. 3 days, 3 nights. One brother turned up, yeah? One sister turned up 5 months ago to me. You know what? They haven't even slept in the same bedroom for 5 months. Not a joke, man. He's up there in his single bed. She's in a double bed, whatever. He got his own single bed. He's staying separate. They haven't even come together for 5 months. Ya Allah. For what? For some petty arguments they had over finance, who's going to get the money in the house, tensions were running. You know why? Because they put too much on themselves, yeah? Because she's got tuition, extra tuition, she's doing the kids, she's got running in and out, she's working part-time, the guy's working till 7, 8, he comes home, he's got stress from work, the contract says 5 o'clock, but he has to leave the office at about 6, 6.30. It's stress. So he comes home, the worst thing to do is, you've got stress at work, don't bring it home. Don't bring it home. Your lovely wife or your lovely husband has not done anything to you. It was Michael. Understand? It's Michael. So you go and have your beef with Michael, yeah? But your lovely wife, your lovely husband hasn't done anything. So when you come home, even if you're stressed, just try and smile. Just try and look at them with mercy because they did no wrong to you. Okay? Is it okay for us to carry on a little bit? Yeah, it's not so... If you read Quran, if you're reading Quran as much as you can as tahfiz student, the Quran is still not going in your heart, what should you do? Look, if you can't memorize it, some people just generally can't memorize it, but like Imam Shafi rahimullah, when he asked his ustad, he said, stay away from sins. If you stay away from sins, then your memory power will increase naturally. That's just one thing, inshallah. Mothers earn in the house, father does too, but father does not contribute to maintaining the house. Children have started to earn, should they help the mother? It's your house, the children are there. Look, you and, you know, this decision you make. Look, I don't want to say to you right now, children should help you, and then he was expecting you to spend, you know, pay certain bills. I don't know what's going on in your house. And there's going to be another, you know, imagine you go home and said, Mesabze Hoysoin, Fuaya Marahujadito. You know, the sheikh came and said, you know, give me money. No, I'm not getting into this, yeah? Mother very elderly, daughter wants to support, help mother, but husband and doesn't want you to. What should you do? Look, a lot of these troubles here is because, let me tell you about a problem. You know, any problem you've got is between expectation and reality. Now watch this again. Here's the problem. Yeah, there's expectation and there's reality. Problem is always between the two. Right? So either you get what you expected, then it's not a problem anymore. Right? Or you couldn't get what you expected. You just can't get there. So what should you do? You should accept reality. So what does that mean? That means, look, inside the house, if you expected your family or your life to be in a certain way, and it's not, and you're expecting it, you'll be frustrated. If you get what you want, alhamdulillah. But if you don't, just accept that's the way things are. Just accept that, you know, that's the way your wife is. Just accept that's the way your husband is. That's the way your father is. That's where your father-in-law is. And so on. Okay? Okay. So, is that like uncle's angry? Yeah, you know. So. Okay. Jazakumullah khair, guys. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. May Allah bless all of us. And bless you. Bless me, inshallah. Is that okay?